Brass Stats, good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning and welcome.
Yes, please. I haven't called this program for about 12 years or more, but I had to take this opportunity this morning to try and get in, thanks to Mr. Johnson. Now, I am living where I'm living now for the last 45 years almost. And you know what touches me, Mr. Lane? For the first time I have ever had anything free offered to me. And the interesting thing is, when one of my neighbors shouted out for me, I thought it was just, you know, one of those regular calls that they probably need to say something. So I said, hold on, let me put on my mask. So I put on my mask and I went and opened the door. When I opened the door, a truck was right there by my door because I'm living to the front of the road. And the guy did not even say, would you like whatever? As soon as I opened the door, he just put all the stuff right into my door. And I said, thank you. But then I said to him, I have...
This is the care package?
Yes, please. Yes. The Defense Force people or whoever they were, you know.
Right.
And I said, thank you. And then I said, one of my son lives right a little off the road close to me, but he isn't home at the moment. And the guy turned and said, all right, I will leave the same package for him. And I said, thank you very much. And he put them inside, and that was that. And I had to use the opportunity to call to say thank you to the Prime Minister and all her assistants, even though the truth is, I would not say I am really in need of whatever. But the thought comes, and it goes out for the whole of Barbados. I appreciate on behalf of my family, my close neighbors. Thank you very much. I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
A good day to you. A note on that, because I was hearing and getting reports that they're going into some neighborhoods and giving out willy-nilly. I mean, the intention really was to get the most vulnerable to register and get them out to those persons. If you listen to the press conference, you would have heard the Prime Minister said that in terms of the statistics, it was showing about 25,000 being like in the range of the most vulnerable, and they went way beyond that to make sure that they have the coverage, so they went up to 60,000, and that is the reason why you could just share a little more, because everyone is really affected, particularly in lockdowns, even those with means find themselves in need. Now, I don't want to appear as giving excuses but I want to appear as giving reasons for things like this. As someone who's been involved with operations similar to this in recent times, sometimes on the outside you don't appreciate what's happening on the inside. So on the inside, you have a team of people who mean well, trying well. Sometimes they get things wrong, but they are losing sleep. They are going 24/7. They are going, trying to get help to people. And I know how they feel when, after all that, all you get is criticism. But the bigger point is this. Sometimes you will see things happening like this, and this is where I ask people, you know, continue to give your advice and your constructive criticism so that we get it good and we get it better and we get it best. But you have to understand some of the things happening in the background. Some of the things happening in the background may be a case where you have a lot of perishables. So as opposed to trying to stick to a hardcore concrete system, you may have to adjust on the fly to ensure that the things are utilized. And I'm not saying this is the case, but I'm just giving you an example as to why things happen the way you see them. And you may criticize them, you may not like them, and I would agree they're not the best way. But sometimes you have to spare a thought and ask the question why. Now, again, when I talk about media literacy and I talk about communication, it is really imperative on the persons responsible to come and explain as opposed to listening to speculation by myself. But I just use that as an example to show you what is something maybe happening. When you are on the other side, you see it a lot differently. 20 minutes to 11 o'clock, we take another call. This is Brass Stacks. You are on the air. Welcome to the program.
Okay, good morning. I hear now. That boy like to drop out.
No, they give way to you.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Lane.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, good morning.
I got to say all the best for the year because the first time I talking to you now for a year.
Hey, happy New Year to you, man.
Right, and I hope it won't be my last cause. I want to hear because of the pause. If you didn't hear, I would have to be someplace. And if you're listening to me yesterday, I think you will know why I was so frustrated. But they say this Reddit is work, and Brass Stacks is work. Because I keep noise about somebody having a place in a supermarket open while other places like that place closed down. And then they went and they saw everything shut down today. So I was saying, this is why Brass Stacks is work. I can't be pleased. I think Corey more than anybody else in Norway would be pleased. Because, you know, be small people too. Right? Mm-hmm. Right, being that big. So you gotta be fair. Right? Mm-hmm. So Mr. Lane, I want you to research somebody. I know that you's an intelligent fellow that like to check do research too. Research, they got this woman named Kelly McGonigal. McGonigal, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. It's McGonigal. She's a psychologist, G-A-L? Right? Mm-hmm. McGonigal. Right, McGonigal. Mm-hmm. Right, I kind of dyslexic, so I might not be good at the, you know, I try my best. I'm fully though, but I know I got this. It's part of this. And it got to do with being more dominant on the right side of your brain, by the way. Right, and you mentioned Corey that why you don't like partisan politics. I can understand Corey, but you can't stop it because it's life, and it is
never
necessary.
Said stop it. No, right, never, right. never talk about stopping it.
Oh, okay.
It is what it is.
Why I want you to research this lady, right? Because I came here, I come sometimes, and that is why the right side of the brain is more intuitive, right? It says things from the intuition. I speak from my heart, and I did tell you all that. Stress is good, but I know, yeah, I said they're talking about sophistry, and again, song is a contradictory thing because I understand you all when you say it bad, but all they're trying to do is give you all a positive outlook on life. If you see stress as good, it cannot be bad, but that's the attitude that you have towards it. It's like situations that stress is nothing more than your attitude to situation, and this is what helps you. If you check, people that are going through stress, there's be people that more developed. Check them good. Because it is stress, there's be learning there to develop on the emotional side. Right? That's where you got a lot of people that ain't emotionally intelligent because they believe that. And they got, they say, I do research on it, right, Corey? That way, talk about the left side of the brain. It might be good at mathematics, but the more negative emotions on the left side of the brain. When people get angry, I could have when I'm arguing, I'm having a debate. But when you can't argue everybody, there's some people who want to fight. They don't know who to debate. And that's why they say...
Correct.
That's why they don't understand the politician. Politicians will gotta be mature people to fight with one another and still be friends. But that's being an adult.
Allow me to say something, your contribution. Allow me to say something. I've said it before, but I believe learning is repetition, right? Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I learned at university, you talk about international relations. The mainstay of that is that we talk so we don't fight, aka diplomacy. And it would have increased diplomacy a lot after World War One and Two. So if you have these nations talking, you actually prevent them from fighting. Now when you reduce that now to the micro level, one of the things we recognize is that in communities where people fight a lot, you look at the education level, you say they're not articulate, they use a lot of curse words, and they like to fight a lot. They fight. Okay? No problem. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the sessions I was doing while doing counseling and so on in prison was, I remember a day, someone came in, should know better, and they started to criticize the inmates. Someone had shared out some National Geographic magazines. The lady came in, take these up, take these up. These can't read, they're wasting time. And I thought that murder was about to be committed because they took such offense to that. And what I did at the time is I turned the exercise into a debate where they could debate how they felt. And one of the things I remember actually thinking is that in the community where they were and they felt this level of disrespect, they would try to lash out. They would try to fight. They would try to kill, maim, disfigure, assault. And if we actually learn what you are actually saying right now, the ability to talk things through, then we would have less war and less fighting on the individual level up to the world level. So it is something that is very, very true. Conflict resolution, being able to talk things. So that's it. I just wanted to insert that in there because it's so important.
Yeah, it's so important. Any domestic violence and all the problems we get in that in the household and so on. But I want to go on to this here, and I had a talk about sophistry yesterday, but I want I know that I don't really, as it's not a supporter of the DLP, but I will support the DLP, but you will see me criticizing them too. But I will I'll applaud the I understand what the Prime Minister trying to do, okay? Right? I may not like what she's doing, but it is necessary, right? And I wish that the DLP member, one of the members, or if the leader had the skills that she had in speaking, because that is where their downfall is, you know. That's where the downfall is. Corey, they're good at talking and they're skillful at the art of politics that they're practicing. And then she getting it do well. And that's why you see able got like envy them in a sort of way and oppose them because they know that there could be things that go over people's head too, right? Mm-hmm. But what want to voice her on, right? And the best thing I hear, David Ellis don't agree with it, but I agree with it. We got to learn to live with COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And they say yesterday, although I ain't sensitive.
But when you said David don't agree with it, I heard David saying that same very thing. Uh-huh. We can go live with it. He don't think it going away anytime soon.
But the business people seem to be saying so. And I agree that we ain't got to learn to live with it. Because it ain't going away. And not only that, it can got something to do with how strong we are too.
I think we can be able to do that. I can pick up this conversation with you. We got Adana Grandison from the BAMP, the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back and we're going to actually have a conversation. So don't you move. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I just want to remind you that VOB is monitoring the situation with the update and press conference at 11 a.m. We may be joining them, where we join Lieutenant Colonel the Honorable Jeffrey Bostick, Minister of Health and Wellness, and he will be joined by Dr. Anton Best, Senior Medical Officer in the Ministry of Health, and Dr. Clay Cave, Director of Medical Services at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. So we'll be monitoring to see if we will join over there. In the meantime, and in between time, we'll be speaking to Adana Grandison, who is here from the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners. I want to say good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me, Corey, as well as Dennis. I just wanted to lend a bit of clarity to caller one. Just wanted to dispel the myth that BAMP is a bit compliant in terms of being silent. Certainly, we are an independent, but the reporting of deaths is really done by the Ministry of Health. And we, as BAMP, we are informed of deaths just like the rest of John Public. Further to that, BAMP, however, has made recommendations in terms of the testing of postmortem samples or persons who have passed. Those who have passed suddenly at home, as well as persons who would have been hospitalized and potentially passed at the hospital, so that, and this is as far back as April 2020, when we made this recommendation to the Ministry of Health, so that we can have a very good understanding of what is happening in our community in terms of the COVID-19 response. So I think that I just want the public to be very aware that BAMP is actually quite independent, but the reporting of death is actually something that is done by the Ministry of Health.
I want to say something I think is very important and actually get some more commentary from you, because I think it's very important to hear from the association. This is down to brass tacks, and that's why I think we like to just get cut to the chase. For me, at least, I could tell you. I think what's very unfortunate is that BAT have been drawn into an unfortunate situation where before you had a case where BAT were making these recommendations. It seemed as though the government were not taking these recommendations. We had people lobbying for BAT to play a greater role. BAT was placed on a committee, and then there are these persons who would try to make it seem as though BAT is now silent. Because I would never imagine that BAT would be the person to report death. So I want to apologize for the fact that you even felt the need to come on, where I could have probably said to the caller, but it just goes without saying that BAT will not be the organization responsible for that. What I want to say to BAT, and you can reiterate whatever you have to reiterate after I say this, is that I believe that BAT has been doing a wonderful job. The mantra of doctors do no harm, forget the politics, forget the detractors, and continue to do a wonderful job. And I really want you to reaffirm what BAT is really about. And for all those listening right now, because it's unfortunate that people play these political games with things that are so serious.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to say thank you. But certainly BAP's role is to be independent. Our primary focus is our patient population. We're here to ensure the safety of our patients. Our patients are first. And so anything that we need to do to ensure that the safety of our patients come first, whether that is making recommendations for quarantine of visitors coming to the island, making recommendations on testing, making recommendations on laboratory, how we handle the geriatric population, how we handle death protocols in the event of a surge, and certainly down to the rationalization of PPE and even advice in terms of drug use and vaccine use. Certainly it is at the forefront. And that was the reason even for the creation of the BAP COVID-19 task force. And that is really to ensure that we keep our patients as our primary focus. So we are apolitical. We are here to assist wherever possible, certainly the government, if they do need the assistance. But our primary focus is certainly our patient population and the people of Barbados.
Ms. Granison, tell me this, honestly speaking, between me, you, and Dennis, right? You think in 2021, in a country that has 100% access to schooling, brides to be 98% literate, that you should have to come and say what you just said there just now? Be honest with me. Be honest.
I think it is always a good opportunity to come and re-educate our patient population again, because sometimes, especially in situations where we may be in... this is uncharted territory. Let's put it
Definitely.
This way. Let's
Definitely.
Be very frank. And mm-hmm. fear is very real. Persons are having fears. Persons are experiencing anxiety. They have concerns. And that is also the role of a doctor, really, to understand where the patient is coming from and explain and try to mitigate some of those fears that the patients may have. So as doctors, this is not something new that we have been doing. This is something that we do every day. We break bad news if bad news needs to be broken, but we also educate our patients, and that is one of the real goals of BAMP in terms of this whole pandemic at this time. So we have
The apolitical part, but the other part I take 100%. Now, I'm trying to still get access to the WhatsApp, but this one just came directly to me. I want to ask you, could you ask the BAT representative about the non-use of gloves while administering the vaccine?
Okay, great. This is a question that actually recently came up in a conversation that I was having, and certainly in a platform that I attended last night. Yes, we have noticed that our public health nurses have been using gloves. But remember, one, the nurses always sanitize their hands, one, before and after each patient interaction. Two, they do not directly interact with the injection site. So once that area is cleaned, you will see the nurses actually pinching or elevating the muscle away from the injection site before they actually apply the injection. And this here is not something that is only being done now with the COVID vaccine, but this is something that we have done traditionally over all of the years of our very robust vaccination history here on the island. So it is not something alarming to me. And certainly I don't think once the requisite measures are taken in terms of sanitization and certainly cleaning the area, I'm not overly concerned.
All right. One of the other things I want you to talk to us about is the BAMP task force on COVID. I want you to tell the public a bit about what that is about, Dr. Granison.
Yeah, so the BAMP task force is a large group of doctors who have decided to give of themselves to come together. And this is doctors across many variant specialties. We're talking about pulmonary critical care, epidemiology, family medicine, surgery, obstetrics and gynecology, even persons that have geriatric gerontology interests or interest in the geriatric population, persons who have interest in the pathology area. And certainly we have also had, where needed, some, because we know that our pediatricians are quite busy, but they have also lent some assistance in terms of providing guidance in terms of the pediatric population. And those group of individuals really come together on a daily basis, electronically. And we go over the data that's placed in the international domain, not just certainly within the local environment, but the international domain, and really take a very hard look. Sometimes very robust discussions come about from these papers that we will break down and take a look at. And then we use those papers and really ask the question, what is the science saying? What is the science really trying to show us? And use that in an attempt to guide what we can do locally to make it better.
Mm-hmm. Actually, okay, good. And I believe that the task force would have been the organization or the subcommittee within the organization that would have come up with the early recommendations, particularly in quarantine and so on.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct.
Okay. One of the things that I would have observed, and I would like to get your take on it, I like when we have the specialists on and we can actually speak to the experts in within these particular forums where persons can actually hear from themselves directly from the experts. When we did an assessment of the government's handling of COVID, especially the first phase, the government would have received a lot of things, a lot of praise and a lot of, you know, admiration in terms of how they handled it. At the time, the consensus was that in terms of the entry protocol, it was okay. The quarantine protocol, we're giving people, human beings, the ability to quarantine on their own is where things really went awry. And then all the other things we had in place with the washing hands and everything, the standard thing right across the world was up to par. But the real fall down was in terms of the quarantine protocol. That is kind of like what I heard throughout the discussions on this program and other places. From your observation, from your recommendation, is that what you've seen, or are there other factors that we may have missed?
Well, from the very beginning, I know that you're probably very much aware that we have made a recommendation for a longer quarantine period. Initially, our quarantine period recommendation was even longer than we initially suggested, which was up to the 14-day period. And as the data came out in terms of recommendations for quarantine and why we make those recommendations, and with the increasing advent of new testing modalities, rapid testing, PCR testing, stuff like that, to state that we would have good opportunity to be able to identify any potential positive persons